No, but hey, what a message that was. Amen. Amen. I give honor to him. Love him. Exodus 33, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses." They were watching the man of God until he was gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. So when Moses went into the house, the presence of God met him there. Stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. What an encounter he had with God. What an experience he had with God. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know you." The Lord looked at Moses. He said, "I know you by your name, and you have found grace in my sight." So what an encounter he's just had. What a deep place in God that he had experienced. But he has a prayer request. He said, "I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me the way." Why? Because I want to know you. "That I might find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." The Lord said, "My presence shall go with thee. I will give you rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us?" So the way we know we have grace is because we've got the presence of God. "So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Verse number 18. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me your glory." His message has been in my heart for this church for the past 2 weeks maybe. And I really need the Holy Ghost to help me. It's been one of those things that it's in your spirit, but I'm sure you preachers know how it is. You try to put it on paper and maybe it doesn't come out exactly the way you want it to, but I'm believing if we can get anointed here tonight, that the Holy Ghost would do what it wants to do in this place tonight. Would you stretch your hands towards me right now? Come on, would you stretch your hands toward me? I love you, God. Would you connect us right now in the Holy Ghost? God, would you do something tonight that only you can do? I feel you've given me a word, God. I don't just feel it. I know you've given me a word for somebody in this house today. I want you to anoint me, God. I want you to anoint my lips. I want you to anoint my mind, God. I want you to anoint the ears of every listener that's in this place today. God, let us receive the word with open arms, God. In the name of Jesus, we've asked these things. We'll be careful to give you all the glory. I wonder if you'd put your hands together. Come on, one more time. Really put your hands together all over the house. Come on, God, prepare us for what you want to do tonight. God, get us out of the way. This is all for your glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. We as human beings, we are conditioned to get very used to things. It's just part of human nature. The more we are around something, the more familiar we become with it. Many of you can remember being maybe a child, or maybe you've got children here tonight, and you know how it is to have a child that's wanting a specific toy, and no other toy will do except for that toy. They're so excited about it, and they're looking forward to it. And the time finally comes when they get that new toy that they've been wanting. But only a week, maybe 10 days goes by, and you find that that toy is in the bin with all the other toys that they don't play with anymore. I don't know about you tonight, but I personally love cars. If it was not for my mom, my brother, and definitely Brother Mayor, I would be driving something that I could not afford. But I remember when I got the car that I have now. When I first got it, I went to the store and spent a few $100s buying cleaning supplies and microfiber cloths and all these things because I was going to keep my car so clean and so good looking. I think it's been a few months since I've had that car, and I've used that stuff one time. That's just the way it works. It does not take very long for us to get tired of things. It doesn't take very long for the polish to go away and for the sparkle to lose its shine and for that new car smell to no longer be in the car. If you go by a junkyard, you can see thousands and thousands of cars that have been compressed and they are stacked upon each other. It's amazing to think that at one point, every single one of those cars was brand new. At one point, every single one of those cars, there was an owner that went to a dealership and said, I want that car. And they were excited about it when they got it. But somehow, they lost the thrill of it. Somehow, it no longer held the value that it had held for them at one point. It no longer excited them like it used to. It no longer had wonder about it that it did at one time. There was an extremely well-known evangelist decades ago who was mightily used all over the country. This particular preacher did not have much of an education, but they say that there were many words in the Bible that he did not understand and that he couldn't even pronounce. They said that the way he would work it was that when he'd be preaching and reading a text, that he'd see one of them big words coming up and he'd stop before and he'd begin to say a few remarks about the words ahead of it and he'd skip over that word and pick up after it. He said that it worked very good for him, that people never seemed to catch on to what he was doing. But although this man did not have much of an education, although there were words that he did not understand in the Bible and words that he could not pronounce, he was mightily used of God. He was very successful. Many people got the Holy Ghost under his ministry. Well, towards the end of his life, someone came to him. They said, Elder, how'd you do it? He said, how have you become so successful in your ministry? You often talk about how you don't have much education. How is it that you have been able to be this successful, but you don't have the degrees that other preachers have, and you haven't done the things that other preachers have done? How have you been so successful at what you've done? That older preacher looked at that young man. He said, really? He said, it's quite simple. He said, I never lost the wonder of God. He said, the presence of God never became old hat to me. He said, but I'm more excited about God right now than I was when I first received the Holy Ghost. Hey, I want to tell you, he had the attitude that as the days go by, it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. As days turn to months and months to years, I find that the Holy Ghost just keeps getting better and better and better than it was the day before. Just when I thought God had shown me everything that I could see, God somehow pulls something out in a verse maybe I've never studied before. It's an amazing thing about God. I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on this subject. Don't lose the wonder of Him. Don't lose the wonder of Him. I want to tell you that you may lose the wonder of a new vehicle. You may lose the wonder of a new house. You may lose the wonder of a new career and a new friendship and a new relationship. But I've just got to tell somebody tonight that one thing we cannot ever afford to lose is the wonder of God. Hey, I know we're human beings and it's easy for us to get conditioned to things. And we're all conditioned to get tired of things. But you've got to understand the depths of God. They have no bottom. The heights of God, it has no ceiling. The width of God, it has no boundaries and it has no limits. Did you know tonight if you had 1,000 years to give your life solely to learning about God and figuring out His characteristics and what makes God who He is, Did you know you could not even scratch the surface of all that God is? I thank God that I meet people who are excited about God. I remember I was talking to Brother Josh, and he was talking about how there were many times when he was at Brother Booker's house, a man who has had the Holy Ghost for decades and decades and been at the top of the field. And he said there was times that he would be reading a scripture that he had read maybe 1,000 times before, but there was some new thing that he had never seen before, and it jumped out at him. And he said he would sit there and begin to clap his hands. It was not something that became so normal to him that it did not excite him anymore. I thank God there's people who make it their mission to learn more about God, to know more about the characteristics of God. But can I tell you tonight that I'm looking into the faces of men and women who, some of you, have lost the wonder of God. Some of you, God no longer means to you what he used to mean. Some of you can remember when you first got the Holy Ghost, when you first got in the church, and everything was exciting. Everything was new. Everything was just so fresh and so new in your life. You'd get up in the morning and you would want to learn more about God. You're excited about reading your Bible. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's been a while, but if you would think back, you can remember the times where you'd wake up in the morning and you'd say, God, I want to learn something about you that I've never learned before. You got in the scripture because you wanted to know how to please God. You wanted to know how to make God happy, but somehow the wonder for some of us has departed. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 3, Jesus speaking. He said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Everybody say little children. And become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You ever taken a child somewhere and everything they see is exciting to them? Everything is fresh and everything is new. I remember a time, I don't know, I was probably 9 or 10. Benjamin was probably 10 or 12. And me and Benjamin and our other two brothers and my dad went to Virginia. My daddy was preaching up there, and we all went up with him. And I had a camera, a little blue camera. I've still got it. And my brother Benjamin had a camera. And I remember we took pictures of everything. There was not a tree that we didn't think we should take a picture of. There was not a flower that we didn't think we should take a picture of. And I should have asked before. We went to a museum. I think it was a World War II museum. Some museum up there in Virginia. And I remember we were taking pictures of everything in that museum. We're taking pictures not just of the things that were, you know, displayed, but we'd take pictures of the plaques. And we just thought everything was so great. I can remember our older two brothers making little remarks like, man, there's a water fountain. Why don't you take a picture of that? But you see, it wasn't exciting to them. And it wasn't new to them. You know why? Because they had already experienced it before. But when you're there and it's the first time you've ever seen it, it's the first time you've ever encountered it, and it's the first time you've ever experienced it, it's the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. And can I tell you, I believe that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. When he said, except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A child has wonder. A child has amazement. It doesn't take a whole lot to get them excited. We've got people in this house that if God doesn't really show out, we're not impressed. That's true. If God doesn't come down in an unbelievable way and really show you something you've never seen before, then you're not stirred and you're not moved. And it's either got to be a tsunami of the presence of God or it's got to be a stick of dynamite for us to respond. And you look around and there's a new person who's weeping and crying and they're experiencing something that they've never felt before. It's the first time they've had a revelation. God wants a relationship with me. They've never had an understanding. God desires me. God loves me. They're in awe. They're in amazement. they've never experienced it before. You can look one person over, and there's a saint who's been in the church for a long time. There's a young person who was born and raised in the church. And you'd think they were watching paint dry. It's so boring to them. There's nothing exciting about it to them. I'll tell you what's happened. They've lost the wonder of God. David said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know what David was saying? God, I may have seen some things, but you still amaze me. God, I've had experiences in your presence, but I'm still in love with you. You still wow me. You still shock me. There's a lot of teaching in the Bible about growing and maturing and not staying in the same place that we are, but growing as Christians and growing in our relationship with God. The Bible talks about how if you've been in the church for a decent amount of time, you shouldn't be on milk still, but you need to be on the meat of the Word. Understand what I'm saying? There's a difference. But I want to tell you, revival happens when people stop being childish and start being childlike. Did you know you getting excited about God is not a sign of spiritual immaturity? Did you know that you realizing that there's so much in the Word of God that you don't know, that's not a sign of spiritual immaturity? We've all seen new people come in and get the Holy Ghost. We all have. We've all seen new people come in and get the Holy Ghost. And to them, everything is exciting and everything is new. There's no such thing in their book as a bad preacher. No message is a bad message. No singer is a bad singer. No person kicking off service did a bad job. Why? Because they haven't come to see them, but they've come for the presence of God. They didn't come for you to impress them, but they came to get something from God. They came to experience something in the presence of God that they've never experienced before. They're excited about the simplest things. Once again, you've heard it, and I've heard it. You ever heard somebody sit back after there's a new saint who just prays through, and they go wild every service, and they scream amen as loud as they can every service, and there's saints and people who will sit back and say, man, they'll calm down after a while. Hey, that'll wear off after a while. They'll get over all that. Let me ask you, have you ever stopped to think maybe it's not supposed to wear off? Come on, have you ever stopped to think maybe it's not supposed to get old? Maybe I'm not supposed to get over it. You should be just as excited about God as you've ever been. The presence of God should stir you just as much right now as it did 30 years ago when you first received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you give them some praise? Come on, why don't you give them some praise all over the house? Come on. Come on, is there anybody that could say, God, you still amaze me. God, you still excite me. God, you still wow me. Come on, let me tell somebody tonight. I'm thankful for the things that God has done in the past. I'm thankful when I think about the Book of Acts revival. I'm thankful when I think about the revival that took place in Topeka, Kansas. I'm thankful when I think about the revival that took place at the Azusa Street revival. But let me tell you, I'm not interested in just talking about a Book of Acts revival, but I want to have a Book of Acts revival. I'm not just interested in talking about the revival that took place at Azusa Street, but I'm telling you tonight, I want revival to break out like it never has before. I want people to come in and feel such liberty that it's no problem for them to lift up their hands and God fill them with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for responding. I wouldn't usually stop it right now, but I feel that there's somewhere that the Holy Ghost wants to take us. And I tell you, we never need to forget about what God's done. But listen. While we're thanking God for what He's done, it's hard to stand before a church that has had so much revival, that's seen so many people get the Holy Ghost, and try to convince you that there's more. But I've come in the Holy Ghost to tell somebody there's a lot more. Come on, there's more souls to be won. There's more revival to be had. There's more anointings to be had. I've got to tell you tonight that there's more. There's more. Hear me tonight. We never need to forget what God's done. We need to shout about it. But while you're shouting with your feet over what He's done, I wish somebody would reach your hands out and say, God, I want more. Thank you for what you've done. I'm not going to forget it. I'll always shout about it. But God, I'm going to reach out with my hands and say, I'm not satisfied. I've got to have more. Do you remember what it was like when you just had a desire to know God? Do you remember what it was like when you just wanted to know more about His characteristics, more about what pleased Him, more about what didn't please Him? I found myself in recent months going to pray, and I pray for 30, 40 minutes straight, and the only thing I'm saying is, God, I just want to know You. I just want to know You. I'm thankful for what You've done. I'm thankful for what You've done through me and in me. But God, I feel that there's so much about You that I haven't tapped into. I just want to know You. The Bible makes reference to a group of people who will be strong and do exploits. You know who that group of people is the Bible's talking about? The people that know their God. The people that know their God. Can I tell you tonight that just because you're in the house of God doesn't mean you know God. Hey, you can sing in the choir and not know God. Can I go as far to say that you could stand behind a pulpit and not even know God? Jesus said that there's going to be many that will come to Me. And they'll say, we prophesied in Your name. We cast out devils. How? In Your name. We did many mighty works in Your name. But He'll say, depart from Me. Why? I don't know you. Not only do I not know you now, I never even knew you. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 18. The Bible says Samuel ministered before the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1 says Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So he's ministered to the Lord, and he's ministered before the Lord. Now put up 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 7. 3 and verse number 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He ministered to the Lord. He ministered before the Lord. But he did not know the Lord. That gives the possibility of you sitting on a Pentecostal pew and not knowing the Lord. That gives the option or the chance of you sitting in a Pentecostal church and sitting next to people that have relationships with God, but you not knowing God. Abraham walked with the Lord, but his nephew Lot didn't walk with the Lord. That tells me you can walk with people that walk with the Lord, but you cannot walk with the Lord. You can be in the church, you can minister to the Lord, you can minister in song, you can be a worship leader, you can sing in the choir, you can be a preacher, and not even know the Lord. Not even know the Lord. I begin to think, how many here tonight really don't even know God? I know maybe we think we do. I'd love to think everybody in this building tonight knows God. But if Samuel ministered to the Lord and ministered before the Lord but did not know the Lord, could that mean that there's some people in here tonight that you've been in church for a long time, but you don't even know the Lord? And I tell you, we won't ever know God the way we should if we've got no problem spending more time on YouTube than we do in prayer. We'll never know the Lord the way that we should if we're more worried about getting a social media presence than we are about getting in the presence of God. We'll never get to the place that God wants to take us if we're more worried about what our neighbors think than we are about what God thinks. And we'll never get where God wants to take us if we're more worried about somebody finding something on our phone than we are about God finding something in our heart. Come to the music, please. Moses knew the Lord. I've got a little bit more to go, but I'll try to hurry. When Moses was initially called a burning bush, he had a burning bush experience to where the Lord himself spoke to him out of that bush. The Lord spoke to him. He spoke back to the Lord. God sends plague after plague, and Moses would talk to the Lord, and the Lord would talk to Moses. They come to the Red Sea. God talked to Moses. Moses talked to the Lord. They're in the wilderness. God talked to Moses. Moses talked to God. The children of Israel cry out to Moses. Moses goes to the Lord, and Moses talks to God, and God talks to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. It was not an angel he was speaking to. It was not something that maybe he did not understand exactly what it was, but it was a real encounter with God where he spoke to the Lord face to face. What I'm trying to say is that this is not a man who was unfamiliar with the presence of God. This is a man who knew God. This is a man who knew what it was to have experiences in the presence of God. But Moses still had something on the inside of him that says, God, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I want to know more about you. He said, Lord, show me the way. Why? That I might know you. That I might know you. A few verses later, after he speaks to the Lord face to face. I was thinking, how many of us would have been more than satisfied right there? What an encounter! I've spoken to the Lord face to face. But within about five verses, Moses says, Lord, I want to know you. A couple verses after that, he said, Lord, show me your glory. And we find the reason why God answered his prayer. Put up Exodus chapter 33, verse number 17. This is why the Lord did it. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do what you've asked me, because you found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. I know you by name. The reason I'm going to answer your prayer, Moses, is because I know you. It's because I've got a relationship with you. Moses said, God, thankful for what I've had, but I want more. Just a few more minutes. And I tell you tonight that God moves on deep things. Put up Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. God moves on deep things. There's something about depth when you go to a deep place with God. And I tell you, God will not ignore your desire to go deeper in him. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So as soon as you read that there was depth, the Bible says the Spirit of God began to move. I tell you, some of you, maybe you're wondering why God ain't moving the way you want him to. Maybe you're wondering why God hasn't stepped in and fixed this situation. I just want to talk to you from my heart. Maybe it's because we're not deep yet. Just a few verses later, I don't know the reference, but we read about the first man, Adam. Adam needed a miracle. The Lord wanted to give him a wife, and if it was going to be flesh of his flesh, it'd have to be a miracle. The Bible says that in order for Adam to get this miracle, the Bible says that God put him into a deep sleep. A deep sleep. So in order for this man who talked with God every single day, who walked with God, in order for him to get his miracle, he had to go to a deep place with God. Maybe you're wondering why you haven't got that miracle. Could I encourage you, maybe try to go a little deeper. Had people come to me and say, man, I'm struggling because I feel like I haven't seen enough miracles. I feel like I haven't seen the supernatural. The problem is we want the supernatural, but we don't want the sacrifice. Hey, we want the blessing, but we don't want the burden. Thinking about the multitudes when they came to Jesus. They came to Jesus and they were desiring bread. They said, give us bread that we may eat. Give us something to eat. And the problem was that they were so consumed and obsessed with the bread he could provide that they missed out on the bread that he was. Many times in one chapter, he said, I'm the bread of life. He said, your fathers, they ate manna or bread in the wilderness and they died. He said, but if you eat of the bread that I am, he said, you'll have eternal life. But they were so obsessed with what they could get from him that they missed the fact that they could have a relationship with him. Can I tell you tonight that I don't just want miracles, but I want the miracle worker. Hey, I don't just want healing, but I want the healer. I don't just want blessing, but I want a relationship with Him that gives the blessing. I don't just want anointing. I want a relationship with the man that gives the anointing. But the only way we'll ever go deeper in God is if we're hungry for it. I've been debating in my head, and I've prayed about it, and I've asked different people if I should share this. I wouldn't do it if I really didn't feel it. It's been in my head all day. Just like everybody else I were. I don't want them to think I'm trying to be Mr. Spiritual. I don't want them to think that I act like I see visions and dreams all the time. That doesn't happen for me. But every once in a while, the Lord will show me something. I'm thankful for every time the Lord speaks to me. I felt to share this today. Let me first say, the Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But can I tell you, if you hunger and thirst for carnality, you'll be filled with carnality. If you hunger and thirst for sin, you'll be full of sin. So I want to ask somebody tonight, what are you really hungry for? What are you hungry for? I was here a few weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and I was up here at the church. It's probably around 11:30 one night praying, and so Brother Josh was up here, Brother Sav, I think, Brother Hayden, and Jared, and a few other people, Sister Deborah, I can't remember everybody that was here. We were having a real good prayer meeting. Let me say quickly, I'm thankful for a place you can come and immediately feel the presence of God. That's not every sanctuary you go to. But I came in here and we were praying. I was laying right there. Right there. I'm not trying to be Mr. Spiritual. I know I don't have to qualify everything. But I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And I began to see some things. Just let me share it with you. If you think whatever about me, that's fine. But I feel that I'd be in trouble with God if I didn't share this tonight. In my mind, I began to see this building. It was packed out with people, wall to wall, front to back. Very similar to the way it is tonight. And just like tonight, everybody had a need. Everybody had something that they needed God to do in their life. I watched as service began. I watched as there was angels begin to walk up and down these aisles. Angels. They begin to walk up and down these aisles. They walked through the back. They walked around. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, I saw that these angels in their hands, they had gold platters. Every single one, gold platters. And on those platters was the most unbelievable food I had ever seen in my life. Most unbelievable food I had ever seen. Immediately I knew that represented the answer to every question that was in the house. That represented the miracle to everything you've been praying about. Everything we needed was on these platters as the angels walked by. Can I tell you, all you had to do was reach out and grab onto it. All we had to do was grab onto it and eat it. But can I tell you that I watched as those angels, I know this ain't how it is, every service. In this particular deal, they walked up and down and back and forth and up and down and back and forth until the service was over. And can I tell you, not one time did anybody stop one of those angels and get what they needed. I began to pray about it. I didn't know exactly what I was seeing and what I was thinking and what I was feeling in the Holy Ghost. And I was praying, God, what does this mean? I don't understand this. I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing before you today, I felt the Holy Ghost speak to me and say they didn't eat because they weren't hungry. They didn't eat because they weren't hungry. We tell you, you will be full of something. Hey, listen. If I took you to McDonald's today, Brother Landon, I bought you 10 McChickens, 10 sandwiches, I could feed you till you were sick. Then I could place before you your favorite food. Maybe it's something you only get once a year at Christmas. But you'd be so full of other junk that you'd have no desire for that you really wanted. If you were to cook a meal for me and you spent hours and hours preparing it, but on my way to your house, I stopped by McDonald's and I ate till I was stuffed. Then I show up to your house and you say, here's what I cooked for you. I spent hours on it. I made it from scratch. But I said, I'm good. I just ate McDonald's. How rude would that be? Let me ask you, how many times do we come into this house and God's prepared things for us? God's prepared gifts. God's prepared anointings. God's prepared things that we've been searching for, but we're so full of other stuff that we have no desire for it. Hey, the only way you cannot be hungry for something is if you're already full. The only way you cannot be hungry is if you've already eaten. And God's prepared things for you tonight. I've come to tell you, all you've got to do is reach out and grab onto it. That's all you've got to do. That's all you've got to do. I close with this tonight. Think about Jesus, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He comes down. He's getting ready to become a man. The Creator is becoming a creation to save the creatures. And he comes down. And as he's getting ready to make his entrance into the world, the Bible says his earthly mother and father, Mary and Joseph, come to Bethlehem. They're looking for somewhere for Jesus. But what's the scripture say? There was no room for him in the inn. For some of you tonight, God's been trying to give you gifts. God's been trying to know you on a deeper level than he's ever known you before. But some of you are so full of other stuff that there's just no more room. There's no more room for what God wants to do in your life. I tell you, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you're here tonight and you're hungry enough for an answer, I believe, I really do believe all you've got to do is reach out. Say, God, maybe first you've got to empty some things out of me. Maybe I've consumed some stuff and it's filled me up, some stuff that shouldn't be there. But God, would you empty me out first? That way I can make room for what you desire for me to have. Hey, it shouldn't surprise you if you have no hunger for God when you consume garbage all day long. It shouldn't surprise you if you've got no hunger to go deeper in God when all you do is eat up filth and garbage. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'd step out of where you are and say, God, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. You still wow me. You still amaze me. I'm telling you, God would do something incredible in your life. Come on, David said, just like the hart pants after the water brook, just like a deer needs water, that's how much I need you, God. Hey,
When you want God more than you want your next breath, you'll have more of God. When you want the next level, more than you want food in your stomach, I'm telling you, you'll have no problem getting to the next level of anointing. Come on, why don't you pray, consume me tonight, Holy Ghost. Consume me tonight, Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, empty me out, God. God, whatever's in my heart, whatever's in my life that shouldn't be there, God, take it out, because I want to have a hunger for you. I want to have a hunger for you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on and pray. Come on, if you want it bad enough, he'll give it to you. If you're hungry for it enough, he'll give it to you.